Good morning, church. By that singing, I hear we ready today. We ready this morning. Woo! I'm ready to y'all. I'm ready. So, if I haven't met you, my name is Joy. I'm one of the associate pastors here. And I'm so glad to be here with you this morning. Woo! Y'all. God is so good. If you don't know, if you haven't been with us, we are currently in our series called Behind the Music. And with Behind the Music, oh Lord, sorry, I got distracted by the camera. Anyway, but if you haven't been with us, Behind the Music is our worship series. And we're actually within our third installment of it. And I think it's pretty unanimous around or with the staff that we all love this series. We all love to worship. We love songs. And so our hope is that, you know, even though it's a worship series and we're walking through some songs, that the thing is that we want you to learn about the songs, but really what we want you to just hone in on is the truth behind the songs. And as you grab onto that truth, that you would grow in your understanding of who God is and that you would grow in your relationship with him. I'm so excited, y'all, because today the song I have chosen is Trust in God. Yeah. Y'all, let me tell you how it was almost a battle over this song, okay? We were at David's house, and we were talking about the series and talking about songs that we had done before and new songs, and the song Trust in God came up. And I was like, I think I really want to do that song, but I'm also kind of thinking about another song. And so David, he kind of has some rumblings. I can't remember if he was, like, stepping in. But what I do remember is Raph being like, well, are you gonna choose it? And I was like, wait. He's like, listen, if you don't choose that song, I'm going to choose that song. And I was like, oh, my goodness, okay, wait. And so it was like a split second. Usually it's like, think about the songs, go away, and then come back. And then, you know, we'll make our choices. But Raph was not having it at that moment. I was like, well, I ain't having it either. I said, yes, that's the song that I'm picking. And so one of the reasons why I love it is because this song has really been like an anthem for me, and especially within this last year. And not only just for me, but my kids, too. It's been a song that we play as one of their, like, nighttime songs. So I love it. So it was just a pleasure to kind of dig behind the song and get a little bit more information about it. And so here's a little bit of background. So this song was written by an Elevation team led by Chris Brown. And the interesting part, the thing that I love about it is the two verses, the first line is actually taken from an old hymn that's called Blessed Assurance, which happens to be one of my favorite hymns. And so they wanted this song to kind of be an ode to that song, but then also, so you would get like the nostalgia of that, but then you would also kind of feel like this is a more contemporary worship song. And so as I did, again, research, I also found that most people, when they talked about this song, the song, they said that the writers meant for it to be a declaration of trust and encouragement for believers who were going through troubles. And so, you know, it was good to kind of have that background for that. And then as I was just kind of praying through it and thinking through it, one of the lines in the song just kind of stood out at me, just kept coming back to me. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. Now, you know, for some, there is some kind of, I say, debate, like theological debate. Was this Jesus? Was this God? Was this a representative? We're going to lean on Jesus this morning. Like, even David was like, well, what you believe? And I said, okay, we're going to lean on Jesus. but that fourth man in the fire. So if you're not familiar with that line, it actually comes from a story that's in the book of Daniel in chapter 3. Okay, I'm going to give you just a little bit about that story, set that scene up a little bit, and we'll talk more in detail about that story. So in chapter 3, the story is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Jewish boys. To kind of give you some context, There was an exile, meaning that the Jewish people were taken from their land. They were brought to Babylonian. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of that that area. And these three boys, along with Daniel and a few others, were actually specifically chosen to work within the king's palace. So this king actually was brave enough to be like, okay, I know you got, you Jews, your slaves and all this. He said, sent out his advisors and said, hey, I want you to go pick out the most educated, the most athletic, and the most good-looking Jewish boys for them to come to our palace, and I'm going to teach them. Mind you, these Jewish boys grew up in the devout religion of Judaism. So they knew their word. They knew who God was. So when they came to the palace, the Nebuchadnezzar was like, yes, I'm going to reteach you some things. And lastly, the thing that we need to know, like to lay the foundation, is that they were known for no matter what they faced, they had, all, because they were so devoted, they said, I am not going to waver for what I know to be true. So that is sets the tone. So now that we know a little bit about our song and our story, before we kind of go further, I want us to look at the verses again. And it says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did on me for Calvary is more than enough. So again, that opening line, that throwback to the old hymn of blessed assurance. It's so powerful because it really set the tone for the whole song. Right? Verse 2. Perfect submission, talking about Jesus, perfect submission to God. All is at rest, meaning he has done what he was supposed to do. I know the author of my tomorrow. He has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. So these verses are about Jesus. They contain so much truth within them. But as I was studying, as I was praying, I felt like God wanted me to kind of narrow it down for us this morning. And how I narrowed it, I came to the fact that I felt like there were four major themes within the song. Assurance. Trust. Surrender. Dependency. So we're going to talk through these themes today. Assurance. As followers, as children of God, we have some assurances that we can rely on. We have some promises. That's what that means, assurance, promises from God. I'm going to talk through some of the promises and those assurances, and I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can hold on to. Because while the song is good, we need the truth. That's what's going to set us free, right? Okay. So our first assurance for today, salvation. God has provided us a way for us to be reconciled back to him. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We have a way to him. Number two, forgiveness. When we accept the gift of Christ dying on the cross for our sins, we accept that our sins are not only forgiven in that moment, but they are forgiven past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. In Romans 8, 1 through 2, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ, the law of the Spirit gives life and has set us free from the law of sin and death. Okay? We're free. We have a way to be free. The third would be guidance. When we surrender our life, God promises that he will bring, he will send a helper to come to us. That helper would not only guide us, but he would teach us some truths you can stand on. Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. John 14:26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. He was talking to the disciples at that time. Our fourth, we are assured that he will answer our prayers. He will answer our prayers. You know, we have a moment where we can celebrate. For the last couple of weeks, we had prayed for two people in particular. And we talked about last week where we celebrated Matt Padone. He had an issue. We didn't know what was going on. We prayed for it, and God healed that. And now we can celebrate. The Kretzers are in the house. Amy Kretzer and Emily Kretzer, such a beautiful that they are here with us. They are an answer to prayer. God does answer prayer. He promises that he will work everything for our good, even though we may not understand it all. Some truth you can hold on to. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And lastly today, victory. We are assured victory as children of the Most High God who have come into relationship with him through Christ. We are assured victory. In 1 Corinthians, it says 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. So let's go back into our story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, as believers in this day, we have so many assurances. We have so many promises. We have seen what Jesus has done, and we have accepted that. But for them, they didn't have that. Who they knew was the Jewish God, the one and only God, and they had a lot of assurances to base their faith on. So in chapter 3, verses 1-15, here's what's going on. Nebuchadnezzar, as I said, the king of the time, he decides that he is going to build a statue, a huge statue. Most likely it said that the statue looked like him. Then he not only built the statue, but he made it a law that when you hear this musical instrument play, then you need to bow down and worship this statue. Basically bow down and worshiping it as a god. Now, one of the significant things I found or learned about the musical instruments is that back in that day, the different musical instruments actually represented different socioeconomic status. So as the different instruments was playing, it was almost as if the king said, I don't care who you are, whether flute is your thing or the lyre, you need to bow down and worship. Really, him. So these three devout Jewish boys were like, we ain't gonna do that. That's not what we gonna do. And they could say that with such conviction because they're like, wait a minute, I learned as a young boy that the first commandment says that thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? So what I'm not gonna do is bow down to you. So they knew with that stance, they were actually disobeying the king's law. Now, to kind of back it up a little bit more, so in the beginning of Daniel, we find that Nebuchadnezzar were having some dreams. He couldn't interpret it. His astrologers came, and they're like, I don't know what's going on either. So then he calls these Jewish boys because they had the interpretation because through God, they had the interpretation and they came. So then those, Daniel and the other Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had kind of been, even though they were working in the palace, they also had been elevated to work within the palace. They were like, you know, kind of like his Jewish right-hand guys. So in that, the astrologers, I think as an act of vengeance, saw that the guys were not bowing down. And so they go running. King, you know your guys, your favorite guys? So, so they ain't bowing down. They're not worshiping. And I can only imagine, because I really do think very urban-like when I read the Bible, that he's like, dang, now I got to go deal with this. He's like, man, the ones who have actually been helping me, y'all ain't been helping me. So he goes, he approaches the guys, and he's like, so I'm going to give you a chance. That's what he said. He's like, I'm going to give y'all a chance. So the rule is, you know how like you start repeating the rule, like the person didn't hear what they heard and said no, but you're going to repeat it thinking you're going to get another yes. The rule is, the law is, you when you hear your instruments play, you are supposed to bow down. And again, guys were like, you're not going to do that. But let's read it in the verse. Let's go to 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, which was the punishment of not doing what he was said to do, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Their act of assurance was based on the truth that they knew of who God was to the Jews and what he had done so far. So even while in exile, even while being persecuted, even while being oppressed, they said, I am not going to go against my God. This leads us to our next theme of the day, trust. In their assurance, they were able to trust. The assurance led to trust. Let's go back to the song. In the chorus, it says, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. In this chorus, the songwriters wanted to make sure that we as the readers, as the singers, understood those assurances, and it was a natural progression for those assurances to lead them to trust as it should lead us to trust. Picking up Daniel in verse 18. Again, the Jewish boys were assured in who God was. They said, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if he does not, their assurances led them to so much deep trust within the Lord that they said, no matter the outcome, and for them, the outcome was rescue or literal death. We know our God is going to show up. We can trust our God is going to show up because he has shown up time after time. You know, I love that, and when you actually read the fullness in Daniel, like he put so much detail in it. And we're going to read a little bit more of that. And I think, and I believe he put so much detail in it because he wanted us to know that in verse 18, when the boys are saying, I'm not doing that, that it wasn't an easy decision. That decision to stand in trust was made under the most extreme circumstances you can be in. It was extreme. You know, for me, I can relate to that. I've had some times of digging into trust in some extreme circumstances. I was going to say, not necessarily the death part, but that's not true because I did smuggle Bibles into China. But I digress. I was not facing a literal furnace, okay? Most of you know that I am a foster mom. And I share a lot about that, and I speak a lot about that, because really that is my major context of life right now. And it has taught me so much. And when we talk about furnace and fire, honestly, this journey has been my own personal fire and furnace. It has cleansed me. Woo, in ways I didn't even know I needed to. I was not asking to. But God has done some work. And I remember my journey in starting to, you know, prepare to do the paperwork to become a foster mom. I knew the assurance that I had from God as I had prayed is that I was not only going to foster, I was going to adopt. Now, mind you, that is not the goal of fostering, I want to say clearly. Okay? It's not the goal of fostering, but it's what I felt called to. It's what I felt God had laid on my heart. And in my prayer, I said, Lord, send me the kids that don't have anybody. Send me the kids that is needing someone to come in. I could not imagine, y'all, these would be the kids that would come to me. Now, looking at this picture, this is probably like within the first few days of them coming. I could still cry. I could cry. We ain't got time for that, but I could cry. Because this is a perfect picture of our beginning and of our journey. If you're looking at my oldest, her name is Harmony, and her face and her side eye, she got a serious side eye, okay? Now, she ain't walked away from her side eye, but her side eye is not her normal face anymore. But this three-year-old standing right here has seen more life than most 18-year-olds. So when she came to me, she was like, who are you? And what you got to say? She literally at one time told me, I already had like three mamas. I was her fourth home. I won't tell you the fullness of their story because that's not my story to tell. And then my baby boy. This is a perfect image of him. He just living his best life with his toys. He don't know nothing. He don't know what's going on. He just enjoying life. But when I tell you, it's been over 2 years, God saying, Joy, I want to call you into fostering. For that time, it's been 7 years. I want to call you into fostering. Some years of me struggling through that, then some years of me actually finally doing the paper, and then waiting, and then these two. And now that they have been in my home, what a journey it has been. What roads we have taken. How many times I was like, Lord, you said adoption, but they're saying that's not going to happen. No way, no how. Me coming to the actual place of being like, okay, Lord, my heart is always for the families. If this is a right situation for these kids to be sent back to their families, please, Lord, let that happen. So I had let go. I had surrendered. I had given. I could not imagine the role, but I held fast to who I was assured in and to the trust that I had in him that he was going to show up. And so we have another picture. This is us more recently in Easter. This is the Easter picture. Look at that little girl. That's not me, that's Jesus. Jesus working through me. But I want you to know it is Jesus. I'll never forget one night in our struggles, in our working this through, I put some gospel music on, some music. I was like, I need to calm down and I need to get back to zero. And my three-year-old said, don't put that music on, it's too comfortable. And in a wave of being like, first of all, this three-year-old talked like a 15-year-old, okay? But in a wave of like, wait, what? Those aren't exactly the right words, but that is like the right context. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is straight to the point. I needed to be comforted. And she was like, I don't want to be comfortable. I want to be mad. I want to be angry. I want to still do this. So like I said, these two. Asking mommy, it's her favorite song. Mommy, can you put my favorite song on? Trust in God. The Lord showed up. But in that time, again, I would have to be willing to be like, if you do or if you don't, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. And in this story, and I know not in all stories, but in this story, we will be very soon ending up to become forever family. It is official. When we trust in the Lord, we are more willing to surrender our plans, our lives, and everything to Him. Surrender everything to Him. That's our next theme for today. Surrender. The bridge on a song says, I sought the Lord, He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, He heard, and He answered. Again, when we fully trust, that path from promise or assurance to fulfillment, whatever fulfillment may be. Now, sometimes fulfillment can be a no, right? Like God has given you a promise and you thought it was going to work out one way, and it can be a no. But whatever that road that it takes, surrender comes out of the trust, comes out of the assurance. Let's look back at Daniel 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His attitude towards them had changed. He was like, man, they didn't do it. So he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. I mean, how can you get hotter than hot? Like, how you do that? In 20, and commanded some of his strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. These men were wearing robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, and they were bound and thrown into the blazing fire, meaning that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make sure that a spark would happen right away and that they would incinerate. That's why all of those clothes. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His pride was so hurt that he had been brought to a place that I don't care who dies, I want my point to be proven. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing fire. Now, our translation says fail. I did some more research, and I want you to understand that it wasn't exactly fail. What happened is they bowed down into the fire. They bowed down. It was a symbol of saying, I would rather bow down to this fire than to bow down to any other gods, because I know who my God is. I know what he has done. I know what he has said. A lot of times we can say yes to the promise or yes to the journey. And then sometimes it can take some turns and we start to get a little shaky. Woo! Our surrender, our trust starts getting a little shaky. But it's really when it hits the mountains. You got to go through the valleys. And you're thinking to yourself, like, I mean, Lord, those extreme moments, those hard points, that is not the time to doubt and trust. Not to say that you won't, because we are human. But when you do feel that doubt come in, you need to hurry up and run towards surrender. Run towards surrender. Because in that time of surrender, it will take you through those valleys and through that hard. And that surrender will remind yourself, I trust you, Lord. And in that trust, you will be like, oh, I trust you because I remember what I am assured in, what your word says about me. And that open hands, surrendering, leads us to dependency, the relying on him. Our last thing. As children of God, we can depend upon our Father, that he knows our beginning and he knows our end. He knows what's going on in that middle. He, as we have our arms stretched out, our hands stretched out, he can take what he needs to and add what he needs to for our story. Because our story is not just about us. We are all part of a larger story. I love the last line of the song. That's why I trust in him. That's why I trust in him. This declaration of dependency on the Lord is, again, because I know who he is. I know my assurance is in him. And I know he will never fail. Now, me and David, we had a little talk about never failing. And we would not be who we are if we didn't address that. Maybe somebody in here may be like, well, I feel like you failed me. That's honest. That's true. He never promises that our prayers will be answered in a way that we think it is. He never promised us that we will not go through trials and tribulation. Like he asked me, he said, well, you know all the stuff you went through as a kid. At that time, did you think that God failed you? And I was like, no, because life is ghetto. And life just be lifing. You know what I mean? Life is just out here doing what life does. Between the enemy, regular life, and sin, and all the stuff, life happens. I didn't have time to think, oh, Lord, you failed me, because I needed to depend upon him. And I didn't even know him as a Christian at that time. I just knew he was the only one that I could go to and pray to. Not even the adults in here, or not in here, sorry, not even the adults in my life at that time could I lean upon. He literally, I didn't even know that at that point, of how much he literally was my savior. That at times at age 13, when I'm thinking, I'm gonna take my life because I'm done with this. Something has to be better than this. I didn't know him as Christ at that time. All I knew is that he was the only one I could depend upon. You you can go to him with that feeling and those thoughts of him failing you. I love that he opens us with welcome arms in that. I've learned, I'm 47, I've learned over the years as I've walked in faith that as much as I feel like I'm called to surrender with open hands, God gives back to me so much more. More than what I can imagine, more than what I can think. Again, I like to say this all the time. Not necessarily what I'm thinking is going to be, but in the course of my life, I see the blessing it is. Let's see how God showed up in the Jewish boy story. 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar leapt up. I mean, you know, he's sitting chilling like, I ain't giving him all the clothes. It's hotter than hot. Like, this is about to be quick. He leapt up in amazement and asked the visors, were there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? You know how, like, when your boss asks some questions, like, did you do, or your parents, you'd be like, yeah. Like, you're, like, a little bit unassured. You know you did what you were supposed to do. They're like, certainly, Your Majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing fire. Now he getting close to the hotter than hotter fire. He shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. Well, that's my version. Let's read the word, okay? Got too excited. Excuse me. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants, we can't leave this line. Servants of the Most High God. Of the Most High God. He did not serve their God. He wanted to be a God. That was the statue. But in this recognition, he's saying, of the Most High God, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came out of the fire. And the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Again, y'all, hotter than hot. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. I mean, how's it like, God, that you can go into a fire that has been set to 7 times hotter and come out not even smelling like smoke? Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Now that was just based upon the truth that they had at that moment. How much more for us in the assurances we have and who we know Jesus to be and what Jesus has done in our life. These young men, act of surrender and dependency on God, actually changed the course of a nation. Because during that time, Nebuchadnezzar decided to decree, which means to law or pass a law, that no one was to speak against their God, and that they were given the right to freely worship God. Now, mind you, this did not mean that their context fully changed. They were still in exile. They were still being oppressed in many other ways. But their act of surrender, their act of trust and assurance led them to be able to freely worship their God, and not just for themselves, but for all Jewish people. What could you do in your realm of influence if you were fully, as a child of God, grounded into your assurance? And out of that assurance, trusting Him and surrendering all and relying upon Him. We're going to call the worship team up. I always say this because it's true. I have absolutely no idea how you came in this morning. I don't know what's weighing you down. I don't know what's on your heart. But I do know that God does. I do know that He does care. You can be asking yourself, can I be assured in God's promises? Can I really trust Him? I mean, can I really surrender all to Him? And then if I do, can I depend upon Him in my situation, on your road, on your journey? Because we're all on a journey, right? We all either started, we're in the middle of it, we're coming to the end, and even when you come to the end, you just loop back around to the beginning of another one, right? And so maybe your answer to those questions are like, nope, I cannot, to all of them. Maybe it is a maybe. Again, I don't know. That's between you and God. But if you're saying, I would love to either talk with somebody about that or pray with that somebody about that, I want you, as we begin to worship the song, when we begin to worship the song, I want you to come forward. Our prayer team is ready and willing to talk with you and to pray with you about these things. Maybe you're needing an increase. Like, Lord, when we started, I was in. I said yes. But I see that mountain and I don't think I can climb it. I see that valley and it really is looking like I don't think I'm gonna come out of it. Can you help me, Lord? If you're needing that kind of prayer, we want you to good, and He wants to meet you exactly where you are today. We're gonna pray. Here's what's gonna happen. While they're singing the songs, you'll come forward and someone will come behind you. It doesn't matter if you've been up here before, it's not about this right here. This is just allowing us space to be able to pray for you. But if you are needing prayer, you're needing somebody, another believer, to say, I can walk alongside you with this. Let us pray for you. Now, when you come up here, if you're like, I don't want to share my story, just keep facing forward. The person put a hand on your back, and they'll pray for you. If you're saying, I want my story to be known, then just turn around and let them know. There's no judgment either way. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. Not because we pray specifically, or, you know, we got specialness in our prayer, or the altar call people have special prayer. No, He answers prayer. He says there's something about when we gather together. There's something about when we surrender ourselves in allowing somebody else to say, let me take this burden with you. Let me link arms with you. Let me pray for you, brother, sister, that God can show up. So again, we're going to sing. We're going to worship. think about. Where is he calling you today? Where is he saying you need increase? I want to increase you. Let's worship, church. And then I'll come back up and pray yourself. God, I believe with everything in me that you can meet them right in the middle of their circumstances, Lord God. I thank you that you can give the grace, the extra grace that they're needing, Lord. The extra peace that they're needing, the increase, Lord God, whether that's in their assurances and knowing who they are, knowing who you created them to be, Lord God. Or whether, Lord God, it's an increase of understanding how much they can trust in you. Or maybe you're saying surrender. Surrender. Surrender that thing that you've been holding on to. I believe that the Lord says, you give it to me, I can give it back to you in a way that is better than what you can ever imagine. Oh Lord, let us depend upon you, Lord God. And we know, Lord God, again, life happens, things happen. We live in a sinful world. And sometimes somebody else's choices and free wills can be expressed upon us and affect our lives. But I believe even then, Lord, what the enemy meant for evil, you can turn for good. You can turn it around. You can redeem it. I stand here as an example of a redeemed life from things that could have taken me out over and over and over again. But Lord, because of your gift, because of your gift, maybe you're out there and you are ready to make a decision. You are ready to put your trust, surrender your life into Jesus. We are here for you. We want to pray for you. We want to have that discussion. You know, next week we're going to have our baptism. And that's just going to be an opportunity for you to already say yes. And in the physical surrender to the Lord. But today can be that day. You don't have to wait till next week. We want you to know we are here for you. Oh, Lord, we give you glory. We honor you. As Nebuchadnezzar said, the Most High God. We trust in you. Let us bow to you in all situations, in all things. Father, go with these people to their homes, to their work, to whatever spheres of influence they have. Let them be a light. Let us be a light.